very thankful and welcome this evening, and we are also delighted to be here just to read the scriptures and to speak upon them. Now, I'd like to turn your attention, if you have a Bible with you, to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. The verse I want to speak upon is a familiar text to many, if not all, in the hall this evening. We want to speak on verse number 20 of Revelation chapter 3. 33 golden words from the Saviour, from the Lord Jesus himself. Verse number 20 reads, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Now just let's read the background to this statement. The Lord, now he's standing at the door and he's knocking and he's calling and he's asking those from within that door, "If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Let's read the background to it and just see the kind of people to whom the Lord is speaking. He's speaking to a church, by the way, an assembly that had been established possibly just 40 years ago, 40 years before this point. And of course they have coldly shut him out of their life, shut him out of all that was his. He shut them out, they have shut the Lord out of their lives. Now let's just see the kind of people they were. The Lord says in verse number 14, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea," that's where he was writing it to this city called Laodicea, "write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." That's the people of the Lord. He's standing outside the door of the individual and he's saying, "If any man will hear my voice," he said to this company who have rejected him, "I will spew thee out of my mouth." But if he may have said that, you would have considered that rude. But it's the Lord that's the speaker, and he's speaking to this company, and he's not at all pleased with the company. "I will spew thee out of my mouth." Verse 17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing." I don't have need of anything. In fact, they're saying, I don't have even need for you, Lord. I don't have any need for you. Now, if that had been said to the likes of me, I would have turned my back and just left them. But the Lord, he's still calling. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." What a patient Saviour we're going to present this evening. He says, "You have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked." Here's a company. And the Lord has diminished his words. He says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire." He wants them to buy gold because they're poor, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. He doesn't want them to continue in that state of nakedness, spiritual nakedness before God. He says, "Buy of me raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." And then he says, "As many as I love." And he loves them all. He loves them all one by one. He can see them all in his mind's eye. He says, "I love you all. I love you." What a Saviour. "I rebuke and chasten, be zealous, desperate, and repent." And then he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." He that To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. My, what elevation he's going to lift these folk through who have rejected him. Even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now there's our text this evening. We're going to focus and concentrate upon verse number 20, but we're going to try and present the Saviour as a Saviour with an interest in you. While this letter was written to a Christian church, we also see a wonderful picture of the relationship of any non-Christian person in our meeting this evening to the Lord. The Lord, He wants to befriend you. He wants to draw close. He wants to get into your bubble, as it were. He wants to get into your life, into your compass. He wants to get in there, and he says, behold, I'm standing at the door, and I'm knocking. I want you to think of this amazing verse. It's really an amazing verse. It's a wonderful verse, full of wonders. I want you to think of the wonder of his condescension. No wonder he prefaces it with this word, behold. Here's something that's worth thinking about. Here's something that's worth concentrating upon. He said, behold, look at this, long this evening. Concentrate upon this. Behold, I stand. He didn't send an angel down now. He didn't send one of the great preachers to knock at your heart's door. Although the preacher possibly is the medium through which this message will come to you this evening, let me tell you that behind the preacher is the Lord. Or maybe in front of the preacher is the Lord. And he's saying to you this evening, I'm standing. And of course that one doesn't just mean I stand for a little. He stood there for a long time now. And he's continuing to stand. He said, behold, I stand. I want to think of the wonder of the condescension of the Lord. The wonder of his humility. He came here. The first time he came, he was ill-treated. He was rejected. In fact, all of his life could be written, rejected and despised of men. That's how they treated him. They didn't want him when he came, and they eventually gave him a cross. And he went out of this world unloved. Out of this world, and he says, my own familiar friends have forsaken me. You know, there was no one to stand by his side. And I think all these disciples, they all forsook him and fled, every one of them. And now he's hanging up on the cross and he's dying. Or he did die upon that cross. And you can see him there with a crown of thorns upon his head. That's how they treated him. But here he's come back. He's come back to the individual. He's come back to you and I this evening. And this is how he presents himself. He says, behold, I stand. And he's standing there. And maybe the marks are still in his hands. And he's knocking with the nail-pierced hands. The hands that were pierced with the cross. And still his heart is as big as ever. Well, we're thinking this morning of how there was a man who hung by his side. And he maybe never had a mother or father to love him. But there was one who hung on the middle cross. And from his eyes and from his face, there shone the love of Christ, the love of God. And it shone upon the thief as he hung upon the cross. Now, this love is going out to you and I. He's now visiting individuals now. This church in its entirety have rejected him. This church that he has washed and won by his own blood shedding. And now he's come back to them individually. And he says, behold, I stand. He's standing. the wonder of his condescension. And you think of the wonder of who it is that stands there, that I stand. Already in the book we've had, and in another person, behold, he cometh. But it's not spoken by someone else about him. It's the Lord Jesus himself who is the speaker here. And he says, behold, I stand. It's not behold, he standeth. It's behold, I stand. It's him personally saying to us in the meeting this evening. It's him that is addressing our hearts. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. When you think about what he's doing, you think about what he's doing with the wonder of his call, eh? And the wonder of his knock. For those nails pierced hands, he's knocking. And with that breaking heart, he's calling. And with those beautiful tones, the handwriter says, I would not plead with thee in vain. Remember all my grief and pain. I died to ransom thee from sin. Can I come in? Can I come in? And then you think about what the call is. You think about what the call is. You know, the call is given us word for word that the Saviour said. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. So we're going to have a wee look at these things this evening. It's not a literal door, of course. But it is a door. Behold, I stand. You know, the story is told about Queen Victoria when she used to visit Balmoral Castle. She would sometimes go out for a stroll around the lanes and maybe down the streets and down the roads in and around Balmoral. And she came to this house this day, and there was a lady in the house, and she was irate, she was angry, because her neighbour and her had had an argument. And this lady, she had withdrawn into the house and she had bolted the door. And she had said, I'll never answer the door for that person again. You know, such has been the commotion that had been caused. And then the lady from within the house, she heard footsteps coming down the path. And then she heard the door being locked in. And then she said, go away. Go away. She thought it was the lady who had come back to maybe apologize or something like that. Go away, says she. And still the knock persisted. The next day when she got up, other neighbors who surrounded a little cottage, they said to her, you missed yourself yesterday. The Queen stood on your doorstep. The Queen wanted entrance. But all she could hear from without the door was, go away, go away. And of course the lady, she was right annoyed that she had turned away the Queen. But here is not the Queen, it's far, someone far greater. In fact, he's presented in this book, in chapter 19, as the King of Kings. You know, he's not only the King of one realm, but every king is in subservience to him. Every king stands beneath him. He is the supreme ruler. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he stands there. And it's him that's knocking. You think of that this evening. It's not us that are knocking. It's not us that are knocking at his door. If we had been knocking at his door, that might have been more fitting, eh? but it's him that has come down to us. Of course, we couldn't have reached this door for starters, eh? Says the Bible, who could ascend into heaven to bring him down? We couldn't do that. Or who could descend into the deep to bring him up? We couldn't do that. So it is him that has made the movement. It is him that has come down to us. And it is him that is knocking. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's knocking at our heart. He's knocking at our door. The door of our thoughts, the door of our affections, the door of our lives, that's where he's knocking. You think of the wonder of it all. You know, you maybe don't catch it in a meeting like this, but if you want to go home and just sit and think about this lesson, just meditate upon it, just think about it long and hard. You know, you might be caught up in the great thrill of it. Here he is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What does he aim to achieve by knocking at this door? Well, he wants our company. He wants to come into our lives. I can hardly take it in. It's far too wonderful for me to explain it this evening. Far too great. It goes away beyond even my small mind, and maybe beyond the greatest of minds down here. And he's knocking, and he's calling, and he wants us to open the door. He wants to come in. You know, there's a similar story in the Old Testament, and it's the beloved and her bridegroom. And the bridegroom, he's outside the door, and he wants to come in. And this is what he says there. He says, I'm standing at the door knocking. And he says, my hair is wet with the dew of the night. Song of Songs, chapter 5. My hair is wet with the dew of the night. And as he stands out there, it's in the night time, it's cold, and it's wet, and it's dark, and he's standing outside. And he wants to come in. He wants to come into the house where his bride is. His bride-to-be is. And of course, she makes up a few excuses. She says, I'm too tired. Or I'm too weary. She says, I'm too comfortable. I'm all wrapped up in bed. She says, if you just come back at a more convenient time. And you know, all the kind of excuses that we might think about as well, eh? What kind of excuses do you raise when the Lord knocks at your door? I think the knock would speak of what he has done to us, to our bodies for that matter, what he has done to us in order that we might get our attention. And his call, he would call to us through the scriptures. And that's what he's doing. There was a man in the Old Testament, and he felt the knock of the Lord. A man called Jacob. One night he was wrestling with God. And this is, and God dislocated his thigh. And it says, Jacob, he limped from that day onward. You know, and I'm sure that Jacob must have looked back at that night and says, that experience I had with God was worth it all. Oh, he did knock severely. And Jacob was maybe walking uncomfortably for the rest of his days, but it wouldn't have changed it for anything. He had an experience with God. My friend, that's what we all need, is an experience with the living God of heaven. You think of how he's presented in this chapter. He's presented as the truth, as the Amen, the truth. He's presented as the great creator, the beginning of the creation of God. That's what he is. He's our creator. There was one time he threatened to wipe out the nation of Israel. Before, just shortly after they had been born as a nation, he was ready just to get rid of them. My, what is it that it was? What if he had spewed us out of his mouth? They were obnoxious to him. He couldn't even get any refreshment from this people here. But you find about them, even with these obnoxious folk in front of him, these repulsive folk in front of him, he says, "Behold, I come out and I'm standing at the door and knock." And he's doing it with the nail-scarred hands. Those feet that went to Calvary, these are the feet that have taken him to this door here. And he's standing there, and he's knocking, and he's calling. You think of the call that he makes to this people, if any man. There's nobody too bad for his call, eh? Well, there must have been a ringleader here. There must have been someone who started off this distraction. There must have been someone who started off this rebellion. That they were lukewarm, and they were cold, and they were, their hearts were far from God. But he says, if any man, well, that's where I come in. That's where any saved sinner has come in. They've come in just at that point. Any man. This is the same word as the word whosoever in the Gospels. We've been told that was the biggest word the Savior used, was the word whosoever. It just means if any man, eh? If any man, listen to it this evening. Doesn't matter the colour of our skin. Doesn't matter how much we've got in our pockets. Doesn't matter how religious or irreligious we are. If any man will hear my voice, any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. That's what he wants on our minds this evening. He wants just entry. But he's not prepared to bargain now. And he's not prepared to, you know, he doesn't use battering rams or anything like that. He wants you to open the door. I think it's wonderful that the great God of eternity, the great God who sits upon the throne, the great God who just breathed, and from that breath there came forth worlds and constellations. Just out of that breath, he spake, and it was done. And yet here he is, and he's standing in your heart's door this evening. And he's standing at mine. And he's saying to you this evening, if you just open the door, you'll just let me in. Roman Hunt, he did a wonderful painting that was based on this verse. And after the painting was complete, he called a few of his friends round to admire the painting. He was impressed with it himself. It hangs in one of the galleries down in London. And one of his friends says, "Holman, you've omitted something from the picture." He said, "What's that?" He says, "There's no handle on the door." Says Holman, "That was all intentional. The handle's on the inside." You know, the handle is on the inside, and it's only you that can open it. No wonder the hymnwriter says, "Draw the bolt and let him in." You see, that's far too easy. You see, that can't be true. How can it be so simple? Well, that's how simple it is. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And he's coming in for the last meal of the day. He's coming in for supper. They tell me that in the East there was two or three meals which were eaten in haste. You know, the breakfast, when they had their breakfast, well, the folk were ready to run out the door and get away to their work. And at dinner time, well, they just had barely time to eat, and then they were back at their work. And then possibly tea time was the same. You know, it was just all done in a rush. But a supper was the time when the guests and the hosts could sit down together and enjoy fellowship and communion together. That's what the Savior's saying here. He said, if you just open the door, he says, you can have my company. And I love your company. And we'll really have a nice time of fellowship and refreshment together. Eh? That's what he wants. This is personal here. This is personal communion with the Lord. He just wants to be with. And he wants you to be with him. You know, that's the greatest blessing of all that the Lord has to offer. Oh, he offers lots of blessings that accompany salvation, but you know, this is the greatest blessing. It's just to enjoy his company and him to enjoy yours. But it's coming a day when it will be collectively, when in Revelation 19 speaks of it, blessed are they that have been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But you know, that's when we're all there together. Blessed are they that are called. But you know, this is individual here. He wants us individually for himself. And you know, I just can't take this in either. This is just too wonderful for me as well. But you know, we've all got a great big Christ to ourselves. You know, we don't have to share them with anybody. We've got them all to ourselves. And in the quietness of our homes, we can enjoy them. And in the quietness of our isolation, moments of isolation, we can have them all to ourselves. Eh? Why, that's wonderful. That's the wonder of what he wants to do with you. But you know, before you can have that, you must open the door. And you must welcome him in. And of course, you must get rid of your sin. Sin and he doesn't go together. You know, we must repent of our sin and turn from it. You know, that's what he says to this church here in Laodicea. But isn't it wonderful that he wants to elevate us? And he wants to have us sitting with him on his throne. Yeah. And he wants us to be enjoying rule with him. Oh, there's the number. There's at least two thrones in that verse. You know, there's the Father's throne and there's his throne. But isn't it wonderful that we could be sitting on that throne just enjoying his company. But there is another supper in Revelation 19. There's the supper of the great God, as it is in our Bible. It's really the great supper of God. And there's that great supper of God. And you know, that's going to be a fearsome. That's going to be judgment for sinners. And oh, we're being invited today to open the door, let him in, and enjoy his presence. Enjoy the blessings that come with him walking with us each step of the way. It reminds me of the two on the road to Emmaus. You'll remember as they walked along, their hearts were downcast. But as they walked along the road, they saw this stranger and they walked with him for a few steps. And you know, he opened to them the scriptures. And then as he reached home, They would have gone into the home and he would have gone further. But you know, they compelled them to come in. They compelled them to come into their home. And he went into their home and he was made known to them and the breaking of bread. That's the picture here. You know, if you just invite them in for a wonderful occasion, what wonderful fellowship. What wonderful communion, what wonderful company you would have with him. So we pray. Our blessed God and Father, again we just lift our hearts to thee in true believing, worship and praise. We thank you, God, for this wonderful message that won't leave us with any disappointments. But remember, there's no disappointment for the person who opens the door and lets them in. We pray you, O God, that this evening, that there might be someone in our meeting that might be attracted to this lovely person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who stands at our heart's door and still calls. And O God, we remember that there's some, possibly even some sitting in our meeting this evening who as yet have not invited him in. Oh God, we pray that all in our meeting might just understand thy terms, oh God, no matter how simple they be, they might just bow to them and ask him to be their Saviour. We offer thee our thanks and ask thy rich blessing in parting in the Saviour's name. Amen. We possibly we could sing a verse or two of 106. Behold me standing at the door, and hear me pleading evermore with gentle voice, O heart of sin, may I come in, may I come in. You won't think it too forward, isn't it? But I just ask you to sing the whole hymn. I like to sing it here for number one, and then after that, this is a lovely hymn. We could maybe sing it too thoughtfully and prayerfully, and you could think about it while we're singing. Thank you very much.